Hello, welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham. This is Monday Night Fan Zone and a happy Fan Zone. 5-2 win over Brighton. Burnley, 10 points out of 12, going into an international break after losing our best ever player. I think we'd have pretty much all taken that at the start of the season. Three great guests with me. Welcome back to Colin. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me, sir.
Oh, always a pleasure. Welcome to Luke as well. First time on from Park Lane Podcast. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me on. It's good to make my debut.
Pleasure. And Harry is back. A limited time because you've got your own show a bit later on. Thanks so much for coming on and giving a bit of your time, as always. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you, Riz. Good to come on. Looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, and Bobby Kay is already in the chat. How you doing, Bobby?
Oh, man. As is Mark Bobby Cousins. Goes everywhere.
How you doing, Mark? Right, let's get on with it. Colin, off the mark, Son. Ever so slightly off the mark, just a small matter of a hat trick.
That's all.
To Son of, well, I wouldn't say last season, but the golden boot of two seasons ago, Son. He's our number nine now, presumably, I would have thought.
Yeah. I don't see any. We're definitely not going to be moving him back to the left to accommodate Richie anytime soon. But yeah, Sonny was great. I mean, his goals were wonderful. Did you guys think for a second on that first goal that he had maybe held on to it for a touch too long and that they were going to get it? And then he chipped it, that beautiful chip. I don't know. I was like, oh no, Sonny, you know, what to one too many touches, but they're gonna get it. And then he just that beautiful chip. Yeah, I mean, everything so far in the transfer window, you know, acquiring Brennan Johnson, a winger, it just seems more and more likely that Sonny is gonna take over, you know, where Kane left off. And how, you know, he did that for us. He deputized there many times, the win against City in the Champions League. So, I mean, he can do it, obviously. I think he works better against center backs than he does against fullbacks just because they're not as pacey. They don't have the agility. So, yeah, he seems to be enjoying himself there. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and Luke, Ange said after the game that he's been fantastic all season so far. Obviously, he hasn't scored the goals apart from this weekend, but been fantastic other than that. Do his confidence no end of good. And that first goal in particular, whether, like Colin said, the extra touch meant he had to chip it rather than slot it in, but it's not a sign of a guy who's struggling for confidence, a striker who's struggling for confidence, being able to chip it in like that. And then the third goal was just, as soon as he went through, it's a goal. One of those, you can bank on that. But do you see him kicking on now and getting close to a golden boot or close to Harry's 30 goals?
I don't know. You know, this is it's a long season, isn't it? To start thinking like potentially he could score 30 goals a season. But you know, I think for the Burnley game especially, like it worked perfectly to have Son playing through the middle because especially with Burnley playing with a high line and actually the substitutions they made at halftime really didn't help them in any way. And you know, his pace to get behind and our ability to be able to play the ball through, you know, really helps him. Do I see him playing the majority of season as a number nine? Quite possibly. It's been difficult for Son this season because in an Ange system, like the wingers play really wide. Like that's just what they do. And their idea is to get in behind and either cut the ball back or, you know, link up with the eights that move forward. So, you know, it's always going to look like Son's, you know, not doing as well or he's not scoring as many goals because we don't expect to see that many goals from a winger in this team, I don't believe. You'll see them more from nines, from the players play behind that, the Maddison, the Sarr, you know, even the Basumas potentially as the season goes on. But, you know, the first goal especially, you can't take that away from Son because it all got a bit funny, didn't it? Because Son was breaking through. His first touch kind of slowed him down, which meant he had to play the ball to Solomon. Solomon, and this is what's really good about this team, because in previous seasons, you would see Solomon try and take the ball and shoot. You know, let's say that was Son in that position, and maybe it would get a block or something like that. But what you see is everyone's always looking for a pass. And, you know, he saw Son was available. And I agree with Cole, like, it did look like he kind of took too long. Maybe it wasn't going to happen. And then, you know, he used that to his advantage. And it's kind of like one of those finishes you'd see from Harry Kane, you know, that see him, you know, it was a shot where it was very slightly delayed enough for him to wait for the keeper to go down and then just think it over. So yeah, I thought he did brilliantly. I wonder against other teams where they'll sit back a little bit deeper on how he'll get on, because he's not really a poacher. But, you know, only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Richie to come off the bench, who's a different kind of striker. And just shown with Maddison, certainly in the Bournemouth game, dropping deep. He's got a bit of tactical nous about him as well. A few comments. Wayne Bonner, how are you doing, Wayne? Good evening, everyone. Hope you're all well. Front three on Saturday was effective. Need to keep it. Great game of football. Doing great as well. Thanks, Wayne. Hope you're doing good. We Talk Media, how you doing? Robbie Collins, hope you're well as well. Thank you so much for watching. And what's the point? Is this on now? It absolutely is. Your comment is now live. Please get your comments coming in, your questions and everything like that. He's also gone on to say about Ndombele is going on loan to Mad Turks and Sanchez leaving us for good. I'll miss Sanchez, just a nervous character who got the right manager too late. There's a player in there. We'll come on to that a bit later on. But Harry, also please hit the like, subscribe, notification bell. Everyone here has got a channel as well. It's in the description, so you can find them there, but they'll let you know at the end where you can find their channel and what to expect. But Harry, is Son liking the responsibility? He is now the main man. With Harry Kane there, no one's the main man other than Harry. He's gone. Is Son liking the responsibility? And he's captain as well.
It certainly looks that way. I thought, you know, he took on that responsibility against Burnley, obviously getting that hat trick, which is good. Obviously, he's got that pressure, but he'll be used to it when Kane had times for injury, where he had to step up and been the main man. And he did often step up. You know, I was one of the ones who questioned whether he could play down the middle or not. And, you know, scoring a hat trick, you know, first time in trying that, it looks like it can definitely work. Each goal he took, I thought, very well. The first goal in particular, little chip, you know, reminded me of something Harry Kane would do, just the awareness, when to do it, how to do it. It will dink over the keeper just as the defender's going to take the ball off of him. So, yeah, I think he will like the responsibility to be the main man. I think he'll like being captain. I think that'll mean a lot to him personally. So hopefully he can be really effective this season, gets lots of goals. I don't think it's fair to even, you know, mention Harry Kane's 30 to compare him to that, because he's a completely different player who could also play in a different position. This is a completely different system as well. Like Luke says, goals are going to come from everywhere. So I don't think you can sit here and say that Son's probably going to score 30. But as long as he contributes to the team, gets a goal now and then, whatever position that's in, and looks good like he did against Burnley, because, yeah, more performances like that and he'll be in the team for sure, and Richarlison won't have a chance. So Son just needs to keep doing what he's doing. But I think he does like the responsibility, Chris.
Yeah, and certainly the attacking football, he's going to like that. The negative football with Conte, Jose, Colin, is absolutely fine when you're winning. When you're not winning, it's horrible. Yeah. I've never been a professional footballer. Very debatable whether I've been an amateur one as well, let's be honest. But I can imagine they certainly look like they're enjoying their football again.
Yeah. Certainly the football players. Absolutely, absolutely. And you see that fluidity and the past, I feel like our players have shied away from the ball. They've not wanted the ball in certain positions. You know, they've looked, I mean, this is gonna, maybe we're kind of gonna get into this later, but they've looked to Kane a lot. They've looked to, you know, they've looked at other players and not taking it on themselves. It seems like Ange has instilled maybe some confidence in these players, some belief in their own skill that we all know they have. But they, you know, we're so used to having, I think, a main man that they could always lay it off to, that they kind of, you know, weren't trusting themselves as much. Everybody wants the ball right now. Everybody's willing to make a run to get, you know, to try to get open, to move defenders around. It's completely different to what we've seen. And like you said, the players seem to be loving it. Let's not forget, like, these guys all, I mean, hopefully all started playing the game because they loved it and they were having fun. And I think if you can get that out of them again, that'll only make, you know, things will only improve if they're having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Comment from Jens. How are you doing, Jens? What a cracking game it was. Always nice to go into the international break with a win. Robbie Collins. Cole, nice shades, by the way. Are you from America? You have a really strong American accent. Hope you are now.
Yes, correct. Yep.
I mean, if you were from Canada, you'd have asked me to block Robbie there, asking from you if you're from America, but thankfully he didn't say that.
He got it right. He was right.
Yeah. And what's the point? 5-2 Burnley. Burnley are just using the Premier League to make loads of dosh. I think company's got quite a lot of stuff to sort out. But one comment here from Robbie, Luke, quite interesting. How many points, we'll go around the panel. How many points do you think we'll get in the next three? Should be three against Sheffield United. And then I think Arsenal and Liverpool, the next two, Arsenal away, Liverpool at home. That will kind of tell us what kind of Spurs team we have here. They're our first, I think, big tests of the season. So 5 points I'll be happy with, I guess, with those, depending on how the games come out. But what would you be happy with, and what do you think we'll get out of those three?
Oh, look, I'd be happy with 9 points, but, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I'd say 5 points. I think 5 points would be a good, would be a good amount of points, because let's not forget, right, we don't win the league by getting 9 points in the next three games. You know, it is a long season. So I don't really see us drawing many games. That's the reason why I probably won't get 5 points, but I would be happy with 5 points out of the next three games. You know, as you say, it is the biggest test of the season so far. You know, I'm a big fan of Ange Postecoglou. I have been for a long time, and I think that he is the right man for the job. But the one thing I'll say to all Spurs fans is, like, you know, don't throw your toys out of the pram. If we don't beat Liverpool and we don't beat Arsenal, or we do get beaten by 3 goals against either of those sides, because that is possible in this system. And this system, you know, won't always go to plan. And so, you know, it's really a true test of this side's spirit and how we get on. You know, I think we can beat Arsenal. I genuinely do. Mm. My worry is their wingers against our inverted fullbacks that could cause us some issues. But that's going to be a hell of a game.
If for some reason Udogi doesn't play, then we're in trouble. Can you imagine Ben Davis against the wingers? Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Harry? Mark Cousins here. 9-9, easy, bring the world on. We fear nobody. I like the optimism. I really love the optimism. I'm not sure that will stay for three games. But
no.
What do you think of those three games? I think the Arsenal game in particular is a real, real kind of... we'll see where we are. They were obviously very close to the title last year. Big, big game. We didn't turn up at their ground last year. Liverpool at home, I'd back us to beat anyone. Yeah. But like Luke says, we are attacking and we will concede goals. We conceded two on Saturday. But what do you think of those next three?
Yeah, well, like you say, Chris, the Arsenal-Liverpool games in particular will be a real test of, you know, how far we've come in a short period of time under Postecoglou and, you know, what is actually achievable this season. Because if we, you know, we put up a good fight or we beat either Liverpool or Arsenal, maybe even both, that'd be amazing. I can't see it happening. Then that, you know, it's a good reflection where we are at the season. Like Luke says, you know, you don't want to be getting upset, throwing your toys out the pram if we don't get the result we want, because it's all about progress. And this is still a very new system. Everything will still be new to the players and the club. 3 points Sheffield United at home, I don't think there's any excuse there. So like Luke says, I'd definitely take 5 points. But I think, you know, the way we're playing, I think that it's fair to say that 7 points, I think, is achievable. I think we can do that. Obviously, the hardest one will be Arsenal, the one where, you know, I'll definitely take a point. But I think we can beat Sheffield United. If we're on it, I think we can beat Liverpool, because I still think Liverpool have their problems defensively. Yes, Alisson, you've got to beat Liverpool, because the defence isn't fantastic, isn't all that for me. No.
I mean, is Van Dijk still suspended? Was it 3 games he got suspended for?
Yeah, if it's worth his 3 games, then he's out.
Sorry, Harry, that I was just checking this actually after I finished, and Arsenal got a Champions League game in between
there you go.
The game against Everton and then the game against us. So, you know, that's one benefit to Spurs. They don't have that midweek game.
And they haven't been in the Champions League for a while, so they're going to treat that seriously. So hopefully that can come to our advantage. But yeah, I feel confident. I sit here and believe we can get 7 points, but, you know, 5 points would be completely fine and we move on.
Yeah, and what's the point, says regarding Sheffield United, anyway. I want to see Phillips and, I can't remember his name, Levis.
Belize.
I think he's got his work permit, yeah.
That's done. Yeah, finally. It wasn't, you're right, it did take a while, but it is now complete.
I want to see Phillips and him get at least 15 minutes on the pitch against Sheffield United. If we're winning 3-0 against Sheffield United on 73rd minute, want to see Phillips come on for the final 15. But Valise, Colin Ange did say he probably won't play a huge amount this year. So I think if we are going to rotate strikers, it would probably be Richarlison. But in terms of those games, those three, obviously Sheffield United, we should be winning that at home if we're wanting to achieve things. Arsenal, Liverpool are still conceding goals and aren't looking that great, especially Van Dijk's out. Arsenal were that close to losing that game yesterday. It was just a a toenail offside. What do you think of those three?
Well, like you said, is it weird that Sheffield is the match I'm like the most worried about? I hope that we come out and take it seriously. We have a habit of playing to like the level of the teams that we're playing against. And I've seen it, I mean, in, you know, like amateur sports that I've played, you know, we can sort of take our foot off the gas on this one and sort of coast through and we'll take these guys. And they'll be hungry. They'll want to turn us over at our place. So we're going to have to come out ready and not be asleep. I haven't really seen it this season, but in the past, we've definitely seen Spurs, you know, be asleep in the first half. I also, though, want to say, Arsenal and Liverpool can go either way. And do you guys know off the top of your head, I don't have it up, are those home matches for us or away?
One's away, one's at home.
Yeah, Sheffield United, Liverpool at home, Arsenal away.
Yeah, Arsenal away. That'll be tough, but it'll be fun. I mean, it all depends. I know that Arteta's not an idiot. I mean, debatable, but I mean
he is an idiot.
But for like he might be able to set up his team in a way to kind of counter the style Ange plays. We know how rigid Ange is with his playing style. I do think we'll beat Liverpool though, and I cannot wait for the Jurgen Klopp. I can't wait for the Klopp, the interview afterwards and to hear what he's got to say and, you know, what the reasoning is and why they lost. But, yeah, we'll definitely beat Liverpool. We'll beat Sheffield as long as we come out firing and don't take, you know, the win for granted there. And then Arsenal is up in the air, especially being that it's out of the library. So,
I mean, Luke is flying the Man City colours, but he's also got a Bale shirt and a Spurs shirt on, so I think we'll forgive him.
That Bale shirt's class, dude. That was a good kick. I love that one. Yeah.
Javi, I know you've got to head off, so one more question for you and then we'll go around the table. Already mentioned Son finishing like Harry Kane, also one of our defenders now. The Romero goal was absolutely superb to add to the header he scored against Brentford as well. He's looking dependable. I do worry if him or Van de Ven get injured. We've got Sanchez and Dyer. That's one of the issues that I thought on transfer deadline day. But Romero... maybe I questioned him last year. Will he ever be world class if he can't get his attitude right? But maybe it was the case if he was trying to do the right back job, his job, and the other centre back's job. With Van de Ven, he looks so much more assured. And what a finish!
Yeah, what a finish, and what a partnership they formed in such a short period of time. I've heard lots of people like wonder. We discussed it, Luke, on Parkland podcast before. What is it that's made Romero kind of calm down? Because there's no doubt he's a calmer player. He's making sensible decisions. For me, it's the fact he's got a reliable partner next to him in Van de Ven. Because you watch him for Argentina, you know he's not making these silly tackles. Whereas last season, for me, it felt like he was having to make these challenges because you know look next to him and felt the responsibility to win the ball back to do well for the team. So now I think that pressure is off of him. He's performing well. Obviously, new manager coming in. He's got new manager to impress, show why he needs to be in the team, why he's such an important player to Tottenham. And that vice-captain role would have helped as well, the leadership team. Lots of people doubted him, didn't they, Luke? So it's good to see some people.
I was wrong. One of them, I have to say.
Were you? So was Luke.
Yeah.
A big one.
Yeah, but yeah, I know you've got to head off, Harry. Thanks so much for giving us some of your time before your show as well. If you don't know, Scarfy Spurs Talk is Harry's show. The description, the link is in the description. But what can people expect?
Yeah, thank you for letting me come on, Chris. It's an absolute pleasure.
Problem. Pleasure having you on.
Thank you. It's great to come on. You've got my Twitter handle there if you want to follow me, HarryScarf22.
Yeah. That's in the description as well, is Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Twitter handles.
Perfect. Thank you. And you've got my channel there, Scarfy Spurs Talk. You can find weekly live shows every Monday, 8 p.m. match previews and match reactions as well. Also, co-host the Park Lane podcast with Luke every Sunday, 7 p.m. One of four co-hosts. People in the chat, don't forget to subscribe to Let's Talk Tottenham as well. I think it's my second or third time on. So thank you for having me on, Chris.
Oh, no problem. Always a pleasure whenever you're free to come on. And really appreciate you giving me 15 minutes, 20 minutes of your time.
Have a good one, Harry. It was good seeing you, bud.
Nice to see you. All the best, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers, Harry. Bye-bye. When you finish here, make sure you go over to Scarfy Spurs Talk or watch that on repeat as well. Question for you, Colin. Have you watched Ted Lasso? Getting Coach Beard vibes from you. Absolutely brilliant show that is.
Andy, I was going to say, I've watched the first two seasons and love it. I know I have a lot more to go. Yeah. I'm a little too close to the mic. Probably a little hot on the mic there. Sorry. But if I could emulate Ted Lasso himself, I'd much rather be Ted. He's got that positivity that I just want more than anything. Maybe I need to get the mustache going. It's good. But no, I'll take either. That's definitely a compliment, and I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I love Ted Lasso. The whole show is amazing.
It is really aces, isn't it?
Romero was playing beside a lighthouse without a light bulb in it. That's why. Arsenal Vlogs, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for watching the show. I'm good. How are you? Good win yesterday. Got slightly lucky, I guess, with the disallowed goal, but Jesus back on goals. And
look. Oh, I've lost audio. I will be right back. Sorry, I've had an issue. One moment.
No problem. But Luke, Romero, according to Harry, me and you had the same kind of opinion last year that he was not quite there. This season, complete turnaround, got vice-captain. Ange must have seen something in training or behind the scenes to give him the vice-captain. You don't give a vice-captaincy to someone that you think can't handle the pressure. What do you think has been the turning point of him, I mean, certainly in the season, keeping his head in these four games, not looking the dangerous kind of defender that we've seen, although he did do a scissor challenge against Bournemouth, but he looks so much more reliable this season.
Yeah, definitely. I put most of that, I probably would say, down to Ange and, you know, bringing him into that leadership team and that's happened. I completely agree. Last season, I don't think he's a bad defender. I don't think he's bad at stopping goal scoring opportunities. My issue with Christian Romero is his rash challenges. He loses his head. You know, you could bank on him if you're doing a bet builder. You can bank on him getting a yellow card pretty much every game. And it's things like getting sent off against City when we're winning the game, and things like that, which we just didn't need, especially with the lack of defensive options that we had at that time. I think that, you know, allowing him to be vice captain along with James Maddison has really helped him. And I also think that having a manager that believes in him, believes in the team, and bringing players around him that he also believes in as well. Take my hat off to Romero, because honestly, you know, as you say, there's been a few challenges at Bournemouth one, but I think that's debatable again. I don't think there's much malice in it compared to what
he's got to be careful though with the fact that football these days, you can't make a challenge and leave your feet because you're running a risk.
Yeah, I think so. But you can't take all of that away from Romero. No. Like, you can't just turn Romero into an Eric Dyer, you know, who's too scared to make a tackle, you know? You can't do that. Like, you have to still allow him to have that fire in his belly. It's just a way of being able to, you know, calm that fire down. It's like having a fire in your house and trying not to burn your house down. You know, like last season, there's a chance, every chance you lit that fire, you'd burn your house down. Now, you can probably rely on the fact that actually you'll probably be all right.
Yeah. Mark Cousins says that Romero had to do three players' jobs last season, which is what it looks like was one of the issues, and probably the lapses in concentration and discipline were probably due to frustration. Apparently, according to What's the Point, he feeds Romero two raw steaks before a game. That calms him down. We heard it here first. But Van de Ven has been absolutely superb. I don't think I've seen a player, certainly in defence, for Spurs in such a long time that every slide challenge gets the ball and is on point. Even the second goal that Burnley scored, it was kind of he got the ball and it kind of ricocheted off him and went into the corner. But he's obviously lightning quick. We've all seen that video. He seems to have calmed Romero down. Do you worry if one of those gets injured and we've got Sanchez and Dier? We've seen Sanchez play quite well against Brentford and Barcelona, but we've seen it before with him. One good game, three terrible ones. One good game, four terrible ones. And we've obviously got Phillips as well, but he's only played in the Championship, so it's a bit of a step up, so we don't know how he'll take to that. Do you worry about the central defence? What do you think of Van de Ven so far?
Yeah, I'm not as worried as, you know, a majority of people online are. You know, the people that know me that it's not many of them, but people that know me, you know, from my podcast, you know, I'm probably one of the more positive Spurs fans, right? So I try and look at everything that's coming along and try and look at it in some form of positive light, because if you don't have positivity, what else do you have, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Van de Ven is really quick. My worry for him, well, it's not really a worry, right? Because he has it anyway, but my thoughts on Van de Ven were that if he didn't have his pace, I don't know how good of a defender he would be. And that's being genuinely honest. Like, I think he's good. I think he makes good challenges. He's not so great on the ball. You know, there's a few times he does lose the ball, takes too many touches, that kind of thing. But, you know, all that will come within this system, you know, and whatnot. But in terms of the backup options that we have, like, I expect to see Sanchez go off to Galatasaray on a permanent deal. I think that's been done.
Marcus literally said Sanchez has gone finally. So I'm assuming 10
to 15 million euros.
Yeah,
including add-ons was the fee that I read just before we came on. So he's gone to Galatasaray along with Tanguy and Ndombele, who's going on loan with an option to buy. And then, you know, what we've got Ashley Phillips, who I do rate really highly. I think he's a quality centre-back. Good things about him is he's pretty quick. So he's not as quick as Van de Ven, but I would say he's probably as quick as Romero. You know, he's tall, he's strong. So he's a very good option. And then we've got Dorrington from the Youth Academy, who Anne just said that, you know, he basically went into the Youth Academy when he got to Spurs and said to everyone, you know, you play well and you'll have a place in the first team. And so it looks like he, you know, if it gets to a point where Phillips plays, then Dorrington will come on and be the centre-back option on the bench. So he's not somebody I've seen much of at all. Yeah. So I'd be interested to see how he gets on. Look, any team is going to have issues when their main centre-back pairing gets injured. But we'll just see kind of what happens from there. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, what do you think of the central defence? We've also got a couple of comments here regarding the defence. So Romero, he's brilliant at timing his tackles at the right moments. Passing is brilliant. He's got awareness and anticipation. Now he's got VDV, whose speed can get him out of trouble. What do you think of Romero and VDV as a partnership? And are you worried about the depth if one of those gets injured, suspended, or both?
So I did hear Luke's answer, and I'm not copying you. Okay, but you just made a lot of good points that I think I see also, and I mean, they're a great partnership. I don't think we've had a better partnership since Toby and Ian, and I think that might have also been something that Luke said. So again, apologies, but it's great. You know, they really do fill in the gaps in each other's games. I feel like Van de Ven is a little more conservative of a defender, which really does suit well to Romero, who's kind of a wild card. And, you know, you can see him popping up everywhere. I think Van de Ven's a lot better at, you know, sticking to where he needs to be, kind of covering for Romero in those times with this pace that you guys mentioned. I mean, it's a match made in heaven. And people who are complaining about Tapsoba and not getting him, I honestly think that Postecoglou was told, hey, you know, we can work real hard to get one or the other. And I think Van de Ven was his choice. I don't know. We as fans have a habit of thinking that, like, we got the second choice. Like, whenever we didn't get Raya and we got Vicario, everyone decided, oh, you know, we went with second choice Vicario. We don't really know that. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how much scouting went on behind the scenes if they said, no, wait, actually, Vicario is the man I want. I don't know. So I think that I guess what I'm getting at is I think Van de Ven's a great signing. I think he's a great partner for Romero. Romero's only looked better this season. And we've all known Romero was a good defender, but he was just he's a little wild and erratic. And I feel like Van de Ven being younger, kind of taking the back seat, it's just working out really well. And
a VDV who's got to speak and get him out of trouble, I think it allows Romero to just focus on himself. And like Mark Cousins said, doing three people's jobs last season, looking back at it, I think that's probably a good point. And yeah, due to frustration, we saw the lack of discipline. But yeah, Dorrington's a good point as well. I only know him from Football Manager, and he was superb on that as well, and really went through. So yeah.
But as far as depth.
Sorry, carry on.
No. I interrupted you, sir. Oh, you're the host, and I apologize for that. No,
but you're the guest. You can interrupt me as much as you want. I'm the host. I've got to let the guest.
You guys want me to, like, you know, take a minute, and I can leave the screen.
No, it's fine. We're finished now.
Yeah, love you, Chris. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, depth is always a worry in any position, right? I mean, unless you're City, you don't have two first starting 11, you know, class players on your squad. So depth is always a problem, and I see, you know, where the worry comes from in the defense. Yeah, I mean, it's worrying. I think that Ashley Phillips will get game time ahead of Eric Dyer, and I think if it comes to it, though, Eric Dyer will play, and I don't think it'll be. I don't know. We've always been, but under Postecoglou, we seem to be like a you score six, we score seven type of team. And even if Eric Dyer's in that back line, I think that we'll just score one more goal, or, you know, I don't know. It's 11 men. It's a whole thing. You know what I mean? It's a whole unit. And as long as a whole big chunk of them aren't changed, as it, like, were in that Fulham game, I think that we'll be good. It's a whole entire, you know, he's got a style, and it involves the entire squad. And I think that if we can compensate for one or two shite players, and you know what I mean? But that's just me, and I could be completely wrong, and teams could take advantage of Dyer and score on us every game. I'm not, you know.
I'd be surprised if we saw Dyer, you know, get any minutes this season. I'd be shocked if he probably, I don't know if they registered in the end yet, but I'd be surprised if he even was registered, because he clearly doesn't fit into this system, and it would be a hell of a shout from Ange to, you know, to a player who got pretty much all the minutes under, you know, two, and I'm going to use my fingers here, elite managers of Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte.
How dare you, sir? They are football gods.
And then little known Ange Postecoglou comes in and tells him to, you know, get stuff. But, you know.
Yeah. How you doing, Ellie?
Ellie came on my show earlier today. Hey, Chris, Colin, Luke,
big up. Spurs are good at the mo. Come on, you Spurs. Mark Cousins, so would you be wild if you had Dyer next to you? Good point. From what's the point here? We see how much confidence VDV and Romero have with Sarr and Bissouma playing so well at protecting them. Those two are off for the African Cup of Nations in January, so we'll hopefully have Bentancur back and back to fitness. I think he's back in November. And then he goes on to say, with Skip and Højbjerg, you know, the defence is not going to be protected, but at least one of those is going to be playing in that. And Sarr plays for Senegal, so you'd expect him to be gone for the majority of that month. Marley for Bissouma, 50-50 on that one. And Ellie again, big up Chris, the host, interruptions are allowed. Colin, Luke, how good are Spurs at the moment? My God, we are so good. But yeah, I mean, Luke, we are conceding goals. Still conceding goals. The last one did anger me a little bit. It should be 5-1. But
agreed.
If we're scoring five goals and conceding two each game, I think I'll probably take that and be undefeated for the whole season. And what happened during the last season and the season before, I always felt if we go a goal down, we've probably lost this game because we ain't going to score. Under Poch, the majority of Poch, and now I always feel that if it's going to be tight, we always got a chance of scoring a goal, and we'll get onto the individual players later as well, but we're getting goals from all over the place. We've scored, I don't know how many goals we've scored, but only three goals have been scored by a striker. The rest have been spread about, which is obviously fantastic. But are you worried about the leaky defence? Obviously we haven't played anyone of, you know, pedigree at the moment. But these are teams that we were losing against last season. The teams we should be beating, so we've got to be positive about it, and hopefully the defense will get kind of ironed out.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, we also kept two clean sheets as well, one against Manchester United and one against Bournemouth. So yes, we are conceding goals, but, you know, I'm going to be quite honest here, like, you will see goals conceded, and I won't be surprised. There may be a game where we do get beat 5-1 by somebody because of how, you know, because of how from a very early defensive position the fullbacks go inverted and come inside. You know, it wouldn't take a genius to then put, you know, that's why I'm surprised against United they didn't play Marcus Rashford, on the left, because that's what you would want. The last thing you want is Marcus Rashford running against Van de Ven because of his pace. Yet they didn't seem to see that. And rather than putting Marcus Rashford on the left when he could have probably, you know, taken advantage of the inverted fullbacks, that will happen. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do get beat this season 5-1 by somebody. You know, it's not, and that also wouldn't worry me because I'm expecting it. And let's not forget, you know, Ange Postecoglou, his first season in charge of any team that he's been at, he hasn't, you know, won everything at it. You know, Celtic, he had a terrible start with them and, you know, he turned that around. So we have to just kind of look at it on a game-by-game basis and look, am I bothered about us conceding twice against Burnley? No. Am I concerned that we conceded in the first minute or first 4 minutes? Yes, I am. Yeah, that shouldn't happen, you know. Like a late goal to make it 5-2, people switch off. He made 5 substitutions at that point. You can let that go, but you know, conceding inside 4 minutes is the issue that we need to stop.
Yeah, and a couple of comments here from What's the Point. Why did Ange put Devine out on loan if we're going to lose Sam Basuma to the African Cup of Nations? We should, all being well, have a fairly fit Bentancur back then, and he obviously has faith in either Skip or Højbjerg or both, reason being that Højbjerg wasn't sold.
He likes the Celso as well, so...
Yeah, he's another one. Yeah, that's a good point. And Ange is creating good competition for places, which is healthy. And we'll get onto this guy in a second. Told Ange to start Solomon and was proven right. He's a baller. Can't wait to see Johnson's pace bombing down the wings. That will light a fire under Kulusevski. And Ellie, we have the joint third least goals conceded with 4 clubs conceding 4 goals. And Colin, one player that I was not wrong about, which in pre-season I was not sure about him, Vicario has been superb. And I love how he made a save and then celebrated like he just scored a winner. Just shows he gives a crap. And there was a picture of him celebrating like that and Romero in shot as well. And some of his saves, certainly against Manchester United, were unbelievable. He didn't score any goals, but he definitely helped win us those 3 points. 2 clean sheets. And yeah, the defence for me, you've obviously got 4 defenders, but you've got 5 if you include the goalkeeper, and you need a good goalkeeper there. And they seem to trust him, which is imperative as well. Lloris, I love Lloris. Best goalkeeper I've seen at Spurs in my lifetime. But the last 2-3 seasons, he lost that kind of communication and
his attitude got weird too.
But right? What do you think of Vicario so far? And you know, we all, most of us wanted Vale. Most of us thought we were getting Vale, but you know, it's not a bad testimonial to get Gianluca Buffon saying he's the next big thing. But what do you think of Vicario so far? I've been impressed with him in the Premier League, I have to say.
So there's an American phrase. I'm not sure if you guys have it there, but he's been the cat's ass. He's been great. he's been wonderful. I'm extremely pleased. I like what I see from him. The passion that you were talking about. After that save, I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they were celebrating, I guess, like to the left of the, you know, towards the left of the goal. And yeah, that's what you want to see. I mean, you need a team where every single player is that pumped up, wants to win that bad, you know, has that much belief and confidence. I don't know. To me, it just says good things about the way Ange has the entire club going. You know, as a whole, I think that it is a philosophy that is literally going to bleed through every single person there. And we're eventually going to have back this Tottenham DNA that I can't remember since, you know, Harry Redknapp. And even then it wasn't this. I mean, it was fun back then, but there wasn't like this steel and determination and fire.
Yeah.
This is the coolest Tottenham team that I've been able to see in my life, I think. And just the most interesting. I mean, we get the entertainment factor, but we also get, like I said, like this steel and strength and belief. I don't know. It's great stuff. And I think that Vicario is definitely showing that with that celebration. I like that he's sort of a flamboyant, not flamboyant, but he throws himself around a lot, you know, and is kind of, I like that style of keeping. I know it's not maybe the most practical, but it's fun to watch.
I mean, he's obviously much, much better with his feet as well. Lloris, how he didn't improve with his kicking in 10 years or whatever it was, I have no idea. they train for 3 hours a day and then they go home, stay on the training pitch with those little mannequins and practice your kit. I don't know how he didn't improve on that, but we obviously want to play out from the back, and Vicario is going to be a big part of that. And
yeah, and oh my God, can I just say, hopefully we have a youth keeper or another idea, because I don't think that Fraser Forster is the guy. Like, we can't play he can't really play out from the back. No. You know, and that's a big problem. We need a goalkeeper. Like, that's imperative. Like I said, the whole system, it's dependent upon it all working. And I think being able to play out from the back is huge. With speed, like, put the ball down, make the pass. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, like, get the kick going. I don't think that. I don't know. It just seems like he slows us down with our build up from the back, and so maybe we've got a youth keeper. Hopefully. In the wings.
We've got Whiteman or Austin's on loan, I think, but I'm assuming we've still got Whiteman. I don't think he's gone on loan, but I don't know too much about him, whether he's
ready or good or
his feet. But it's all looking positive at the moment, but obviously it will change at some point. But we've got to ride the wave while we're there. And
absolutely. Why not be happy? I saw a thing from Kurt Vonnegut the other day that said basically just. If you're, you know, take a moment in your life to realize, like, hey, this is a good time. This is happy. This is what happiness is. You know, you've got to live it and enjoy it while we're there, like you said. And everything with Spurs is rosy right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ellie says, only Man City have conceded with two goals. Liverpool with three, but we are joint third top goal scorers. Brian Daigle in the chat. How you doing, Brian? Oh, hope you're all well as well. And thank you, Ellie, for saying smash those likes and subscribe buttons. Thanks to everybody who's and get your comments in, questions in, everything like that. Really, really helps. Hit those likes and all that. And then go into the description and find these guys' channels as well and do exactly the same. Madison, we'll be talking about him a bit later on. What's the point? Says he's now 83 goal and assist contributions in just 5 seasons. Second best CAM in the league, only 26. Kevin De Bruyne, 32, has 103. Bruno is only on 79 and 79 goal and assists. Alexander Arnold is only 64 and assist goal contribution. Madison's top player, younger than Bruno. Pac Maniac, how you doing, buddy? And watch out, Daigle's about. Ellie says, good evening, Mark, as well. Gary Mabbott rules, he does indeed. But Luke, just a quick word for you on Vicario. Were you for Vicario coming in, or did you want Vea? And what do you think of Vicario so far this season?
Yeah, just quickly, actually, when you were talking about some of the comments, like, I just checked my YouTube and realized I hadn't subscribed, so I've just subscribed right now. So apologies about that.
No problem.
It's always good to check when you're on the show, isn't it? Look, I want to make a real quick point about Vicario, because I completely agree with Colt. You know, that I definitely think he is theatrical. Like, it's something that I mentioned a few weeks ago, especially against Manchester United. You know, there were times when he could have made a much easier save, you know, or let the ball go over the crossbar, but he likes to get his fingertips to it. You know, he likes to kind of get involved and get amongst things. And, you know, I don't disagree with that either. You know, as long as it doesn't become detrimental to the squad or the team performance, then I'm all for it as well. Now, like, did I know who Vicario was? No, of course I didn't. Like, but I hate this, like, this idea that's spouted about online by nobodies who know nothing, where they say that, you know, this was the cheap signing, the cheap option, etc. These are the same people who were saying at the end of last season that our transfer business should be done the same as Brighton is doing it, you know, where they're going for a much more stats-based approach. And then people were even uploading the stats where they were showing Raya and Vicario next to each other, and Vicario's ability to play out from the back, you know, his passing, long distance passing, you know, all of those things were better than Raya. Yet there was still this narrative of going for the cheap option. you know, and so I just think it's just insane, you know, that all these things kind of come about and then people hide away again, you know, as soon as he starts playing well. And, you know, I think that he's done well. I think there are things he can improve in his game. You know, I think he's been beaten a couple of times too easily. I think potentially Burnley's first goal could have maybe done slightly better with the Lewandowski goal against Barcelona in the preseason game. Again, I think he could have done better with. But at the end of the day, like, you know, goalkeepers are in one position, right? We give a lot of criticism to Richarlison when he doesn't score goals. And so you will also give that same amount of criticism if Vicario lets in 5 goals in a match. It's really easy to judge when it's just one player in a certain position, but I don't think that you know, I don't think that he's a bad goalkeeper at all. He's young. I think he can definitely get better with age for sure. And I think we've got, you know, what was it, 17.2 million pounds, something like something random like that. Like, was a you know, was a brilliant buy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he might have struggled if he's carried on, didn't get a clean sheet, but those 2 early clean sheets would have done him the world of good. What's the point, says, like him, worried how he pushes cross balls straight at the strike.
That is an issue of his, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's a Jordan Pickford school of goalkeeping, that he's just powering it straight out to the goalkeeper, so he's got to stop that. I'd hope Ange would see that and then talk to him about that. Honestly, though, Vicario has been impressive. Nervous at the start, but settled in. He said something about how the fans have helped him settle in as well, which was a nice touch. Ange's style will make it difficult for us to keep clean sheets. Not that I have ever shit the bed as an adult. Okay. 2 players that he mentioned. We'll come on to the first one that he mentioned. Start with you. We'll start with you, Luke. Solomon, has he forced Richie out? 1 start, 2 assists. They weren't a huge assist in terms of like a Madison does with or Porro for the 5th goal. But like I think it was you who said earlier, or it might have been Harry, so many times last season when Solomon got the ball from Son for the 1st goal, he'd have tried to have a shot and it would have been wayward. No, take the easy option, give it to Son. Son scores and the 2nd goal as well. Son's 2nd goal. But what did you make of Solomon? And do you think he has to stay in the squad for me, team for me now. Do you think he's forced Richarlison out?
Yeah, I think that, like, I was getting a bit annoyed, you know, ever so slightly with Ange's substitutions, where he would bring off Son, bring on Perisic on the left, take off Kulusevski, bring on Solomon to play on the right, you know, those kind of things. I think Solomon's best position is on the left. I was really excited by him in pre-season. I felt like, you know, he when he did start games, he was really up for it. He looks like he's got good feet. You know, he's not the fastest of wingers, but, you know, his technical ability makes up for it. So,
cheers, buddy.
So I'm really, really excited to see more of Manuel Solomon. Again, this is another one, you know, where, oh, he couldn't even get into the Fulham team. You know, he was a free transfer, the cheap option.
I think he's a smart piece of business.
He got him because he's free. I hate
him. Yeah.
He's a good player. I've watched him for years.
Yeah.
I mean, when we bought Bentancur, you know, Grealish had just gone for 100 million. People were calling for a 100 million pound player, but we've seen Bentancur settled in, absolutely suits our team down to the ground. You don't need to it's about scouting and what the manager needs, what type of player the manager needs, and what players are around there. So, yeah, I completely agree. I thought Solomon was a good piece of business.
And I put Madison and Grealish on like an almost equal pedestal right now. Mm-hmm. And just to think that our player was 60 million less, you know, it's kind of wild to think about that.
I think Madison's got a better technical ability than Jack Grealish.
I would agree. Yeah. Maybe Jack Grealish is Grealish better than with his like vision and scoring, or where do you?
I think he's better. Do you think like
Madison's better altogether?
I think the thing with Jack Grealish is he's probably, I would say, a little bit stronger, but he's also probably, I would say, cleverer. So, you know, in terms of, you know, he's probably one of the most fouled players in the Premier League. You know, that's right. A good. I'm not going to say that you know, Grealish's only good point is the fact that he gets fouled, but he's clever in the sense of he can just shift the ball away and win free kicks out of the pitch. I think Jack Grealish is good, but is he worth 100 million? I don't think so.
No, and I'd rather have James Maddison.
That's because we have a very similar pedestal, definitely.
Yeah, and what's the point, says? I think Ange was worried about how slight Solomon is and if he'd be able to handle the Premier League. But really want to see the Solomon who played very well at Fulham until he got injured. And he always makes lots of substitutions and to freshen up the midfield and attack. Did that a lot at Celtic, so players will have to get used to that. Just imagine Alex Scott in this team under Ange. What a player he is at 19. And, yeah, we won't read the last sentence. But and Pac Maniac, let's not forget that Levy has yet again done the bare minimum for our club. we'll get on to transfers a bit later, but I think he could have done a bit more, but in terms of the backup. But Solomon, Colin, in terms of, obviously, my question was, has he forced Vichy out? Son has forced Vichy out because he plays as a striker, but Solomon has forced his way into the team, which then pushes Son up to play as that striker. What do you think of Solomon? Do you think he'll kick on now? Hopefully, it's not a case where the international break comes at the wrong time, but like Luke said, in pre-season, he looked really dynamic. Just, I want to go for goal. I've got a pass on me. I'm not afraid to shoot. I really liked what I saw with him.
I did as well. I like him a lot. And so Football Manager is where I first learned of this beautiful man that now is on our squad. And I mean, I literally sold Son and bought him like all the time. I know that doesn't mean anything, but I love this guy. I think that he's going to do great. He's shown that Ellie said that he reminded her a bit of Aaron Lennon. And I think that's a pretty apt description, like a better Aaron Lennon, but just that fact that he hugs that touchline, can make a nice pass, the two assists. He's a great player. And I think that his speed and agility are going to be great against like a parked bus. So far we've played teams that are willing to kind of come at us, for better or worse for them, you know, but I think we're going to soon run into some teams that sit back. And I think players like him are going to be good at moving defenders around and maybe opening up lanes for long shots from people like Sonny. He's very useful to have around. Is he going to start every game? No, but that's because Ange, you know, has some tools and will know when to use which tool. You know, Brennan Johnson, Kulu, we've got quite a nice crop of attacking players, really, and they can all sort of swap around, which is beautiful. And I think that was the plan. And so we'll play whoever's more tailored to the opponent. But Solomon, I think, could be great. And he's shown so far that he's good. Do you think he would help with the parked bus type situations?
I think we've got different kind of wide players.
I lost audio again. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Keep going.
We've obviously got Son, who can play wide, Richarlison, who can play wide, Brennan Johnson, quick, Solomon, quick, Kulu, not so much quick, but he's quite tricky. And Porro going forward. And just a quick one on Porro, Luke, certainly on that fifth goal. I had no idea he had that kind of pass on him and that vision on him. On a plate to Son. That's another weapon that we've got if Porro can be playing passes like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's probably one of the best assists you'll see this season. You know, and I'm not overrating that, because the weight of pass to Heung-min Son was absolutely incredible. You know, Son didn't have to, you know, break stride. That's the big issue with Son. You know, he should have scored four, because there was one moment where he was through on goal and his first touch meant that he'd overrun it, and Trafford, I think, is the Burnley goalkeeper, managed to come in and sweep the ball up. But the pass from Porro is absolutely sensational. You know, I think Porro's done really well this season. There was worries for me with his defensive ability in a back five, which is weird, because actually, like, that's where he was playing, and that's what he was brought in to do, to play in a back three or back five, however you want to say it. But you know, Porro has come on leaps and bounds. You know, I think there'll be times where Emerson Royale plays instead, you know, because he's slightly better defensively. But yeah, you've got to take your hat off to Pedro Porro, because he's been brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the point says about Johnson? Got pace? Have we got pace down the left wing now that Johnson is on the right? I like to see Kuna on the left, but being left-footed. I like Johnson. He gets around the back outside of defenders, getting around the back of the defence, which is something that Kulu doesn't do enough. Kulu has started using his right foot and trying to get to the byline, as well as cutting in as well. But Colin, we'll move on to the... Son's our main man, but so is this guy, Madison. Goal was unbelievable. The replay behind Madison, it was no chance for a goalkeeper. I love Madison. I've been calling for... a cam ever since Eriksen decided he wanted to leave, and Madison is just on point. The fifth goal, I loved his contribution. It was probably not really talked about because of the unbelievable pass by Porro and it's Son's hat trick, but I think it was to Saar. He played the ball to Saar, ran to him. Saar just left it for him. And then what I loved about it He gave the ball to Porro instantly, where last season we were, it was three passes until it would have gone to him, in which point Porro would have been marked, no choice but to go backwards. Giving it to him early allows him to look forward, and then we saw what he can do with his pass. But and then his goal, Maddison, his goals this season. I do worry if he gets injured. I'm not sure who the creative player is going to be if he gets injured, but unbelievable, Maddison. And Gary Lineker, I listened to podcast with him, and he's been saying that all these Spurs fans have been saying to him, I didn't realise he was that good. And he's been saying, you don't realise how good he is. How good has Maddison been? And oh, he's my favourite player there now. He said he'd been there four games.
He's probably the player that's made an impact the fastest, the most impact the fastest since Van der Vaart. I think that he's come into the team and automatically seems like he's been there for a really long time. You know, it seems like he fits the team like a glove. Like he, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just as impressed as you. I used to see him in the past as some like jerk kid who, you know, was arrogant and like a big old D-bag. But it turns out that having a family and stuff changes it. You know, kids are stupid and dumb. I get it. I was that way as well. And so, you know, you got to give him a break. And it seems like he's matured into a very good guy. Heck of a player. I like kind of that he's the jerk because he's ours. You know, he's our jerk. And so that's always nice to have. He's a great player. I mean, we're lucky to have him. The price we got him for was an absolute steal. I have no idea why more teams weren't in for him. Maybe he just really bought into the Postecoglou project. But I think he wanted to play with Son. I know that sounds silly, but I think a lot of players would love to play with Son. And I think that he's a draw to our club, if that's not too weird of a thing to say. Who wouldn't want to come play with an elite footballer? So perfect. Yeah. I think he's a perfect fit. Like you said, since Eriksen's left, we've needed that creative midfielder. He's stepped into that role. He's scoring goals now. Hopefully it just keeps going up and up. But Chris, with that, my man, I unfortunately have to head off.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Give me some of your time. Really appreciate you coming on. Really good to talk to you again. I haven't spoken to you for a long time, so really great talking to you again. Talk and Ball is Colin's channel. It's in the description. What can people expect on your show?
Oh, yeah. So I've actually started doing a new thing where I do a show starting to do it at daily, 3 p.m. GMT. So if you can check me out during that time, look for me. Channel, like my friend Chris said, is called Talkin' Ball. It's YouTube and then at talkinball_call. And just please come check me out. It's fun over there. Very low-key, goofy, open to anybody. You know, I put the link out there and we just talk Spurs or life or whatever comes up. So
I've watched it plenty of times. Subscribe to it. Brilliant channel. Thanks, Chris. Make sure you get over there.
I've just dropped you a sub as well.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I'll get you back. All right, guys. But, hey, be good. Up the Spurs. And, hey, thanks again, Chris. Sorry for having a run.
Oh, no problem. Really appreciate you sparing an hour. Take it easy, and I'm sure I'll speak to you soon.
Yep, later on, boys.
Yeah. And, Luke, I know you've got to bounce as well in a little bit, so we'll kind of end, roll up. Put my teeth back in. We'll kind of wrap up a little bit. But firstly, Maddison, and to your point as well with transfers and taking a cheap option, 40 million from a relegated Leicester. Doesn't matter that he was by far and away the best player in that Leicester team. He's by far and away far too good for the Championship. I'm surprised, like Colin says, that teams didn't go in for him. It was only us. But it doesn't matter if he's 40 million, 100 million. He's superb. And the other question, Angie Ball, as it's now been called, are there reasons to be optimistic this season? I was very disappointed losing to Fulham in the Cup because I thought that was a real opportunity. I don't think he'll make all of the changes in the FA Cup, depending on who we get, obviously. But Maddison and Angie Ball.
Maddison, I was probably the same as Cole, to be honest. Like, you know, I saw him as a, you know, a boohoo model, you know, someone that had probably more interest in, you know, outside of extracurricular activities, I suppose you might call it, than football. But, you know, I, again, it's something that I've been proven wrong. You know, I'm not right about everything all the time, and unfortunately, but you know, with James Maddison, I've just seen a completely different guy, you know, a completely different player. And, you know, he's shown that he appreciates the fans, he appreciates the club. And, you know, that was one thing that he said, you know, Ange Postecoglou called him, explained exactly what he wanted. And this is a guy that, you know, most people have never heard of before. You know, and to hear that this guy has convinced him to come to Spurs is brilliant. Look, you can look at cheap options all you like. You can look at Yves Bissouma. You can look at James Maddison. You can look at Rodrigo Bentancur. You can look at Kulusevski. Do you mean the list goes on and on and on? I mean,
when you consider Van Dijk's 75 million, Romero is probably a cheap option as well at 40 whatever million, but yeah, everyone loves Romero.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And to move on to Ange Ball, yeah, like there's definitely reasons to be optimistic. You know, back on, it was back in March, you know, when we were looking for a new manager, I said that, you know, Ange Postecoglou is the guy that I want to take Spurs on to the next level. I wasn't interested in Nagelsmann. We don't need another egotistical manager coming in. I personally didn't know much about Arne Slot apart from, you know, everyone got excited because he won the league with Feyenoord. But one thing that Ange has proved at every club that he has been is that he can do a rebuild. And he can, you know, achieve things with that team. You know, he won everything at Celtic. You know, in his time in Japan, he took a team that hadn't won the league, from what I remember, for a long time, and won the league with them. You know, this guy is a people person. And this guy is someone that, you know, he will get people back behind him. You know, the amount of people that I saw on social media that laughed at me and said, you know, and said, this guy is a joke, you know, cheap option manager, you know, Levy's doing it again. You know, this classic narrative that gets spouted out anytime anything happens on social media. You know, these people are now the ones who are cheering his name from the stands, that are sitting there every week, that are singing his songs in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium foyer after the game.
I have to say, I wanted Nagelsmann in March, whenever it was. I didn't really know anything about Postecoglou, but happy to admit I'm wrong. I love Ange now. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And look, I'm lucky. I live in Scotland. I live next door to Celtic fans. You know, I had a conversation with one of my neighbours the other day, who's a Celtic fan, and we talked for 25 minutes about Ange Postecoglou. And you know, the one thing we won't get from him is you won't see him at Spurs in 10 years' time. You know, even if he's won things at Spurs, he will go and he will go on to the next thing. And he's had, you know, I think he's worked with the City Group in the past, so you never know. He could end up there in the future. But you know, whatever happens, happens, right? But with Ange Postecoglou, you're going to get excitement, you're going to get goals, but you are going to concede goals, and there will be times it will test your patience, you know, and that's the one thing that I would say is, you know, I doubt we win anything this season. I think fifth is probably where we finish this season, even after the start that we've had. And I don't think that's anything to be, you know, shy about. I think that gets us top, potentially gets us Champions League football.
We'll do top about five this season because of an extra coefficient or whatever they call it.
Yeah, that's potentially, I think, dependent on a few things, but it's more than likely going to happen, yeah. But it's more than likely it should come to us or England. But look, it's definitely something to get excited about, and, you know, we should be happy and glad that we have this guy at our football club.
Yeah, and I wanted Nagelsmann because I thought that was the best chance of keeping Kane, but very, very quickly, and then we'll finish. I know you've got to head off. Do you think we're a better team without Kane? Obviously, you'd want Kane there with 30 goals, but it feels to me like we're playing as a team, Wes, but when Kane was there, and kind of you'd expect it, and understandably, you build the team around Kane and then everyone filters in. Whereas now it looks like everybody has a part of the team, and we've an actual team. We saw it with Liverpool when they got rid of Coutinho, one of their best players, best bit of business they've ever done. Do you think we're a better team as a whole without Kane? Or do you think, I mean, with Maddison there and the amount of that way that Postecoglou plays, I mean, God knows how many goals Kane could have scored if he'd have stayed.
I don't think we're a better team without Harry Kane, because that's just really... And I'm not saying it to you, right? Because you're simply asking a question, but it's a fucking, stupid thing to say, because nobody's a better team without Harry Kane. You know, the guy scores 30 goals a season with his eyes closed. Yeah. You know, in terms of Kane, it's really interesting, because I think that what we have now in James Maddison, right, is we have this exact same ability of being able to pick the ball up in the middle of the park, spray balls out to our wide players, and be able to get crosses in for our strikers. What we what we have instead now is that's being done by a player in that actual position rather than Harry Kane would pick the ball up in a 10 position and spray the ball out and then have to run to get onto his own assist of an assist, you know. So what we have, so with Harry Kane playing, he would score absolute hatful of goals at Spurs under this team, especially with Madison, you know, behind him. But look, these things happen, and I was certain that, you know, that Kane would go. And I honestly think that it was the right decision to make. I genuinely do. I don't believe he was going to... I think his head was turned. You know, he wasn't going to sign a new contract at Spurs.
Yeah.
And how many people would have, you know, hung, drawn and quartered Daniel Levy if he'd have gone on a free transfer to Chelsea? Gone on a free transfer to, God forbid, Arsenal? He probably never would, right? But let's just use that.
I don't think he'd ever go to Arsenal. Chelsea, possibly because of Poch there, although...
Yeah, it's a hypothetical comment, right?
But I think he'd have definitely stayed in the Premier League, and then it'd have caused us all sorts of problems. I mean, let's face it, we ain't playing Bayern Munich anytime soon.
Exactly. And even if we get in the Champions League next season, it's whether we get into that round that they're in or in the second. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the chance of playing against him are so limited, and obviously we then also get, you know, a nice little chunk of money from it as well. Whatever you believe about the board or the owners, you know. You know, getting revenue into the club is important.
And it's the right move for Kane as well, because he's done nothing to diminish his legacy at Spurs by going to Bayern Munich. Goes to an Arsenal or Chelsea. It doesn't turn into Sol Campbell, but he possibly would have done if it was free. But yeah, I mean, I'm really optimistic about this season now. I was in pre-season because of what I saw. And just a couple of comments from What's the Point. Madison, 20 goal and assist contribution certainty every season. I mean, the amount of goals and assists he scored for Leicester last year, and he was injured for a third of it. It's just because we have an idiot of a national coach that barely picks him. That's not his fault. I think if he carries on Madison, he has to be picked. And if they carry on, Bowen and Ward-Prowse have to be in there as well. But we pretty much reached the end. We've got an international break now. We can relax for 2 weeks. Apart from crossing our fingers and worrying about any injuries that may occur in an international break. But if not, then we've got Sheffield United that we should hopefully be beating, should be beating a team like that, certainly at home. And then the huge games of Arsenal and Liverpool. Thanks to Javi and Colin, who are already on the show. But Luke, thanks for coming on as well. Your debut on the show. Really great having you on. And the Park Lane podcast is your channel. That's on YouTube as well. It's in the description, as well as Luke's Twitter handle. What can people expect on there?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say real big thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, make sure that everybody that's watching this video goes and, you know, subscribes to your channel first, you know, because that's most important.
Yeah.
And everybody else that's been on this channel as well. But look, what you get is, you know, we have 5 hosts on the channel. So, you know, depending on, you know, each week who comes on and whatnot. But, you know, what we have is different variety of opinions on Spurs. You know, we have some who are Levy out. We have some people who are, you know, very Levy neutral. We've got, you know, people that are very passionate, people that talk, you know, like me, kind of a little bit more subdued about all the talking points about Spurs. But more importantly is, you know, we all support the same club, and it's really important that we all support each other as well. And if you're liking this video, and if you're going on to watch Harry, or you're going to watch Colin, or you're coming to watch myself, you know, it's just important that we all support each other. So I just want to say a big thanks for having me on again.
Oh, no, absolute pleasure having you on, as well as Colin, Talk and Ball, check that out. And Harry, Scarfy Spurs Talk, which is on now as well. So when we're finished on here, jump over there and catch his show live as well. And then Park Lane Podcast as well. Check that out. Chris's Magic, my kind of side hustle channel, little magic trick or tutorial every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. That's GMT. It's not live, but just a little bit of fun if you like that kind of stuff. And hit the like, subscribe, share, notification bell, all the good stuff on here as well. Back on Friday with a Friday lunch hour. Not sure what we'll be talking about yet. There won't be any football, but I'm sure there'll be stuff to talk about. And yeah, thanks so much for watching, all your comments and everything. Thanks to Colin, thanks to Harry, and of course, thanks to Luke. Make sure you check out their channels as well. All in the description, and follow them on Twitter as well. You'll get obviously notifications on when they're going live and who they've got on and what have you. And thanks so much for watching. See you on Friday. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching, for everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments. Before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section on the YouTube videos. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter at LTalkTottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you can find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.